Former presidential adviser Michael Yang questions the Senate's arrest order and lookout bulletin for him before the Supreme Court. China tells the Philippines to get its military supply ship, the BRP Sierra Madre, out of Ayungin Shoal. The Philippines' poll body junks the motion questioning the extension granted to Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to answer his disqualification case. And Europe expanding its booster shot rollout as COVID-19 cases there continue to surge. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Topping the midday news, former presidential adviser Michael Yang challenging the arrest order and immigration lookout bulletin issued by the Senate against him before the Supreme Court. Yang, who was embroiled in government's allegedly anomalous pandemic supply deals with formerly pharmaceuticals, argues that the Senate's arrest order did not have legal basis. He also refutes the Senate's findings that he lied about his involvement in the controversy. Yang is accusing the upper chamber of grave abuse of discretion and violating his constitutional rights. The Philippine Solicitor General says there is no necessity and urgency for Rappler CEO Maria Ressa to personally claim her Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo. Ressa won the prestigious award along with Russian journalist Dmitry Muratov for their efforts to safeguard freedom of expression. Last November 3rd, Ressa filed a motion to travel to Norway, citing the invitation by the award-giving body. However, the Office of the Solicitor General said the journalist failed to present any compelling arguments to justify her travel. The Solgen also claims Ressa is a flight risk because of her cyber libel conviction last year. China demanding the Philippines to remove its ship from Ayungin Shoal. Beijing insists it's time for the BRP Sierra Madre to leave since it's done delivering supplies to Philippine troops in the area. It claims it only allowed the Sierra Madre to complete its mission out of humanitarian consideration. Beijing also reiterates its claim the shoal is part of Chinese territory. The latest statement from Beijing comes after Manila denounced what it deemed as harassment by the Chinese Coast Guard when it deployed three of its men near the Sierra Madre to document Philippine troops unloading supplies. The Philippine government now eyeing several options to reinforce its presence in the disputed territory.
The BRP Sierra Madre is still a commission, so one option is to preserve it so that it remains as our, it will become the permanent detachment. Ay, maaari din tayo maglagay sa structural dyan. Tulad ng light po, mga iba pang tirahan ng ating mga tropa dyan o mga mangingisda, permanent shelter. Ngunit gusto is na kung anong gusto natin gawin diyan ay magagawa natin dahil not sa ating exclusive economic zone yan.
A nurses group fights for a chance to win the 2022 party list race. The Nurses United party list says it's important that they get a voice in Congress, especially as many COVID-19 frontliners have yet to receive proper compensation from the government. The Comelec First Division struck down the group's petition for registration for failing to show that majority of the party's members and officers belong to the sector they wish to represent. But the group says it already submitted copies of their licenses from the Professional Regulation Commission.
That is where the frustration of many of our members comes in. They have been witness to the previous decisions of the COMELEC on the COMELEC commissioners that some party lists have been allowed without much restriction and validation of who are the real members of this party list. And while on our part, on the nurse, with the Nurses United party list, we have laid down our cards. We have provided all the necessary evidences, we are now appealing to our 7 commissioners to please review again their decision on the dismissal of our party list, and that look into the urgency and relevance of having a party list that will represent the largest sector of our health industry, and that's the nurses. We wanted to improve their economic conditions, improve their benefits and welfare, because if we do so, then we can entice more health workers to stay in the country, remain and serve our countrymen.
The Second Division of the Commission on Elections rejects a motion questioning the extension granted to Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to answer a petition blocking his presidential bid. Our correspondent Ina Reformina now joins us on the line for more on this. Ina, go ahead.
PC, the Philippine full body, has denied petitioner's civic group's motion for reconsideration of its grant of extension of time for presidential aspirant Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to answer the petition that seeks the cancellation of his certificate of candidacy. The order by the Second Division, dated October 23, signed by Member Commissioner Socorro Inting, states the poll body has the power to suspend any of its rules, including those pertaining to reglementary periods, in the interest of justice and speedy resolution of cases. This is under Section 4, Rule 1, on the COMELEC Rules of Procedure, promulgated in 1993. The order also cited a Supreme Court ruling in Fernandez way back in October 2012, which gives leeway for relaxation of procedural rules to serve the ends of justice by giving all parties the chance to argue their respective positions. The order stressed a case is best decided when parties are able to ventilate their claims and present evidence. In so doing, due process is even promoted, it stated. Since Marcos filed his verified answer 3 days before the expiration of the extension given him or did not avail of the whole 5 days granted him, the order further said petitioners suffered no damage. The order also stated it had to grant the plea of Marcos for additional time due to the significance of the case at hand. There was no discussion on this portion of the order, KC, but we can surmise this pertains to the posed subject of the petition, the presidency, as well as Marcos's front-runner status. Meantime, on October 24, petitioners, through counsel Theodore Te, filed a bill of exception to register their continuing objection to the extension grant. A bill of exceptions is filed to put on record an objection to a decision, ruling, or judgment that otherwise will not appear on record. Petitioners explained relaxation of rules is only allowed by the Supreme Court in cases of demonstrable merit and justifiable causes, where circumstances justify the suspension of rules. Now, throwing back the very same EC ruling in Fernandez, petitioners said the High Court stressed it does not condone gross transgressions of the rules, and rules should not be dependent upon one's sweet time and own bidding. Petitioners also alleged grave abuse of discretion on the part of the COMELEC Second Division when it justified the extension grant, citing its power under the rules to do so. Now, incidentally, KC, poll watchdog Contradaya, through one of its conveners, Reverend Sol Villalon, urged the COMELEC to stick to its own rules and not give preferential treatment to any aspirant. Contradaya just concluded its General Assembly here in Intramuros, Manila, which tackled efforts to combat electoral fraud and disinformation. Now, for the benefit of our viewers, it may be recalled that Marcos was originally given up to November 16 to file his answer. His plea for additional time was granted on the 18th. Petitioners, led by the task force detaining for the Philippines, placed their case versus Marcos on his tax case conviction, arguing this involves a crime involving moral turpitude and he is perpetually disqualified from holding public office, being a public official during the 5-year period. period in question. That is our latest election update, Ina Reformina, ABS-CBN News.
Casey? Thanks a lot, Ina. Take care and you keep safe. Appreciate your report. And now going back to our top story on former presidential adviser Michael Yang challenging the arrest order and immigration lookout bulletin against him. We're going to talk now to his lawyer, attorney Raymond Fortune, on this petition that they filed at about 10 in the morning today before the Supreme Court. Attorney Fortune, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Carmina. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So first, a lot of points there in the petition that you filed. Let's talk about assertion there that the arrest orders have no legal basis, the arrest orders stemming from the Senate. Why do you say that they have no legal basis?
Okay, there are two arrest orders that are in question. The first one is the arrest order in regard to his supposed failure to appear at the September 7, 2021 hearing. Mm. Now, at the bottom of this is that they had claimed that they had served two subpoenas on two separate occasions. The first one was on August 27 and the second one was on September 2 and 3. Mm-hmm. So with regard to the August 27 subpoena, it was sent to the office of Mr. Yang in the morning when the same hearing was to be heard. At that particular time, Mr. Yang was already in Zambales and could not be contacted due to poor internet connection. So basically is that, well, bottom line is that he was really not personally served with a copy of the subpoena, and there was no way of for him to be informed about the hearing for that day. Now, with regard to the second subpoena on September 2, it was served again at the offices of Piley Holdings Corporation, which was closed at the time because the office was already on a work-from-home arrangement due to the outbreak of COVID-19 at the time. There was an attempt to serve the same subpoena in his supposed residence at 19 Nara Street.
Correct.
And it was received by a driver. Now, you know, anybody worth his salt will tell you that, number one, a driver is not the proper person to receive a summons.
No, but let me cut you there, Attorney Fortune. The driver said that he doesn't live there, only to be later on revealed that he actually owns the properties, or he actually lives there. So it's one way to say that it wasn't served personally. It's another thing to say that he was actually trying to avoid being served the subpoenas.
Well, the driver wasn't told not to receive it. Mr. Yang had been in and out of the country for so many weeks prior to that. And the truth is that he actually resides in Davao. So, you know, I mean, just because a person has a particular residence, for example, in Makati, doesn't mean that you can actually serve him there. Everybody knows that he's been in Davao for such a long time. So bottom line is that he did not receive a copy of the subpoena. Now, the person who received it panicked. And we explained that to the Senate. We said, hey, you know, the guy panicked. You serve a subpoena to a gardener, and the gardener wouldn't know what to say. All right? Plain and simple. So, I mean, and due process requires that in an instance like that, you ask the person, you know, send notice why he should not be declared in contempt for defiance or refusing to receive the subpoena. Mm. That was not done by the Senate. Instead, it right ahead went on and said, well, you know, he's been evading a subpoena, and so we're going to issue a warrant of arrest against him, notwithstanding the fact that, as we are continuing to claim, there was no valid service of the subpoena.
But before that happened, or even after all of that happened, he was able to appear from Davao, right?
No. Prior to the two attempts to serve the subpoena, he had not appeared at the Senate.
Yeah, but after, right?
Afterwards, yes, certainly. And this is what happened, Carmina. So on September 6, he was informed by his friends that there, in the newspapers, it would appear that he was expected to be at the Senate. Mm-hmm. So what he did was he tried to contact, tried to look for a lawyer, and he was able to have an arrangement to engage me as his counsel. And I told him, well, you see, you're not prepared to appear at the Senate, and there was no valid service of the subpoena. Mm. So what I will do instead is I will furnish a letter to the Senate, duly informing the Senate that, hey, you know, we have not been officially been served at the subpoena, but Mr. Young is willing to appear and to testify on the next hearing.
Correct.
Date, which was
so doesn't that all make it moot? Because you had already appeared after the arrest orders that you're questioning.
Thank you for that, Carmina, because precisely that's what we did. On September 8th, we sent a letter to the Senate saying, can you please lift the warrant of arrest? Because by our appearance, then the arrest warrant is already mooted. They didn't do that. Even to this day, that arrest warrant stands, and that arrest warrant continues to be enforceable at any time by the Senate. And that is where we're saying that from the very beginning, this arrest warrant is already illegal or not in accordance with law, because Mr. Young was never given a formal service of the same, and yet there is a standing warrant for his arrest.
But it's not only that, right, Attorney Fortune? It's also about him giving evasive answers.
All right. Who said that he was being evasive? Everybody who has seen the hearings being conducted will show that he has responded to each and every question that has been propounded to him the way that he understood it. Now, the only persons who are saying that he's being evasive are the senators themselves. How can somebody be both the prosecutor, the judge, as well as the executioner? In any legal proceeding, in any society that is decent, that should not be allowed.
And this is why you're also saying in your petition that the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee has committed grave abuse of discretion. Tell us more about that.
Yes. Let's use the United States as a basis. There have been congressional as well as Senate proceeding investigations in the United States Congress. And what happens is that they will invite resource persons as well to give testimony and to provide documents. If they feel that a particular witness has been evasive or has in fact perjured himself, it is not the Senate or the Congress itself that declares that witness in contempt. What it does is it goes to a court and submits the transcripts, and then submits the necessary allegations to prove.
But that's in the United States, Attorney Fortune. We're talking about the Philippine Senate Blue Ribbon Committee.
And that's why we're saying, Carmina, is that we are asking the Supreme Court, therefore, to declare the actions of the Senate to be illegal, because it is basically should not be allowed in a civilized society, wherein the prosecutor is also the judge and is also the executioner.
You're also stated in your petition that the Senate has no power to request for a lookout bulletin order, not just against your client, but in general?
Well, at least insofar as Mr. Young is concerned, yes. We all know that on September 13, the chairman of the Blue Ribbon Committee had sent a letter to the Bureau of Immigration requesting for a whole departure order or a lookout bulletin as it may be allowed. Mm-mm. And it is our position that a whole departure order or a lookout bulletin should only be issued and requested if there is already a pending complaint filed before the necessary body, for example, like the DOJ or the ombudsman. To this date, Carmina, 2 months after, and despite 14 hearings, no complaint has ever been filed against Mr. Young before the Department of Justice or the Ombudsman. Basically, he is prevented from leaving the country despite, number one, his constitutional right to be deemed innocent until proven guilty, and more importantly, his constitutional right to travel.
But it's only a lookout bulletin. It's not a whole departure order.
Well, the lookout bulletin states that the Senate should be duly informed of his intentions to leave, even in the absence of any criminal complaint. Now, it is basic, you know, you can interpret it any other way, but it is essentially a whole departure order.
Now, you're also refuting the Senate's findings that he lied about his involvement in the controversy?
No, the main argument that we're saying is that just last November 9, he was sent a letter for him to produce certain documents as well as information with regard to his corporations, including the names of his employees, the payment of SSS, payment of Pag-ibig funds, payment of PhilHealth, as well as all the donations that he has given to the Philippines. Now, we believe that, well, in the first place, these corporations have never been proven to receive even a single centavo from the 42 billion pesos that was given by the Department of Health to the PSDBM. So bottom line is that his corporations are now suddenly being inquired into when there has been no connection whatsoever to the subject matter of inquiry, which is the supposed use or misuse of the funds which were disbursed by the Senate, by Congress.
How do you know that? How do you know that, Attorney Fortun?
No, what I am saying is the Senate has failed to do any kind of connection at all. It is not for me to prove it, Carmina. It is for the Senate to come out with a basis to ask for these documents. And for example, I mean, like anybody can be brought to the Senate, and even if it has no connection at all, he will be asked, have you paid your taxes? Have you paid your pag-ibig? Did you pay your employees? I mean, what has that got to do with the inquiry, right? I mean, there has to be some sort of connection to the main reason why they are conducting these investigations, to the documents that they are asking for.
Yeah, but when you do watch the Senate inquiry, it's pretty obvious that they're trying to establish some sort of money trail.
Exactly.
They're trying to make that connection. And without the participation of your client, how can they even prove this if your client has been very evasive with his answers?
I'm sorry if, and I take exception to your statement that my client has been evasive. He has attended all the hearings that he's been required. He has answered all the questions that he's been asked. All right? So, but what we are saying is that some of the documents which are there now asking have absolutely no connection whatsoever to the supposed misuse of the funds which were disbursed to the Department of Health. They speak about Pili. They speak about Majestic.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been any testimony by anybody that Pili or Majestic actually received even a single centavo from what were disbursed by the Department of Health? They have nothing, absolutely nothing.
Mm.
So what we are saying is that until you're able to connect the corporations of Michael Young to this supposed, to even to Pharmaly, there's been no testimony to that effect. Even the people in Pharmaly have never said that Pili or any of the corporations of Michael Young have actually received a single centavo. So why is there now a thrust to try to bring out documents which have absolutely no relation to whatever they're looking for?
What has
Pag-ibig, what has PhilHealth, what have all of these documents have to a finding of whether funds were misused by PSDBM?
Well, what do you say then to the justification that this is precisely why there is this investigation, to make that connection? Go ahead, attorney.
Therefore, that is called a fishing expedition, Carmina. That's not the purpose, and that's not what the Senate is for. The Senate is created by the Constitution in order to pass law and to amend existing laws. It is not there in order to do investigations. That is the job of our prosecutorial services or the ombudsman. In other words, that is precisely why we are going to the Senate. We are telling,
to the
Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. We are telling the Supreme Court that the Senate has actually already gone in excess or outside of the jurisdiction that the Constitution itself says it is mandated to do.
In your petition, you also say that your client wasn't given ample time. But there are those who observe that your client was given ample time. It's just that he didn't make good use of it. Your reaction to that?
I'm sorry if that is what people think. I'm sorry, because he has answered each and every instance that he has been asked. Now, what we do notice as well is that, I'm sorry if the same people actually also observe this, that there are questions being propounded that are what we call compound questions, or even questions which are vague. All right? And that's the problem here. And that's where lawyers actually are needed. Because if a question is compound, you know, one of the questions that we raised in our petition is the very question of Senator Lacson, for example, where he asks, what, when, where, and why are you connected with Pharmaly? Automatically, in a regular court of law, that is already objectionable, because that's obviously a multiple question that can only be responded to one at a time. Okay. And yet it was allowed. All right? And there are so many other instances during this investigation wherein the good senators would be asking questions one direction, and without that question being answered, goes to another question. And the witness absolutely has no clue as to what to answer.
Okay, so answer some questions for us, please, Attorney Fortun. Was your client ever a guarantor for Pharmaly?
Was he a guarantor?
Did he finance Pharmaly?
No, he did not. He did not finance Pharmaly. That's for sure. What he did was to refer the matter, refer Mr. Lincoln Ong to his friends, and then by his own words say that you can go ahead and trust him. Now, if you can tell me that there's anything illegal about doing that, then probably Mr. Michael Yang may have committed a crime. But it is our position that merely referring your friends to somebody who needed help with regard to supplies as well as to financing is not a crime in this jurisdiction.
Did he refer his friends as Michael Yang, the businessman, or Michael Yang, the economic advisor of the president?
He wasn't the economic advisor at that time. He was appointment had already expired in December of 2018. So obviously, if he's going to refer Mr. Ong to his friends, it is as Michael Yang, but never as the economic advisor of the president. He would never use his position for that.
If that is very clear to you and your client, why is it that Lincoln Ong and even Wang Tsuyen say that indeed it was Michael Yang who financed Pharmaly?
Oh, did he say that?
They did say that in the previous hearings.
Check the transcripts. That's not what they said. What they said was that they borrowed money from Michael Yang. Mm. Now, but is there any paper trail that it was Michael Yang who actually lent them the money? There is none. Okay, because you can always say that somebody lent me money, but what he actually meant was Michael Yang had helped them get the money. There is none. So, and that's the thing about it, you know, that the Senate already takes the word of Lincoln Ong, takes the word of Wang, and says that, hey, you know, they've already admitted it. But is there any document which would actually support the statement of Lincoln Ong or Wang Tsuyen? Is there any bank document which would indeed support that it is Michael Yang who actually lent them the money? None. And yet, it is out there. It is repeated so many times. You know, just like what the saying is, a lie that is repeated 1,000 times becomes the truth.
And because of this experience of your client, Attorney Fortun, do we take it to mean that you'll never appear before the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee again until this is resolved before the Supreme Court?
No, Carmina. In fact, I had sent an email to the Director General of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee that we will continue to participate. Mr. Yang will continue to be present. He respects the Senate to this day, and he will continue to cooperate so long as his rights are being protected.
So this is not and should not be seen as sort of a delaying tactic because you are going to appear there.
Yes, certainly, Carmina. Michael Yang will continue to participate in the proceedings and will respond to all the questions so long as his rights are respected.
How do you think this might impact the proceedings? It's going to resume tomorrow. Do we expect your client to be there?
Yes, he will be there.
Okay, with this pending question before the Supreme Court, how do you think this might affect the process in the Blue Ribbon Committee hearing as they continue on with this investigation?
Well, the normal process would be that due to the pendency of the issue raised by Mr. Yang before the Supreme Court, then that becomes sub judice. I would think that the Senate, at least Mr. Yang, can at least beg indulgence of the Senate not to respond to questions which it had already raised before the Supreme Court.
So we should expect that to happen tomorrow. He's going to be there, but he's going to invoke this petition?
He will, so long as the questions propounded pertain to the issues which have been raised to the Supreme Court. For example, if he is asked, who are your employees in DCLA? Mm. Or have you been paying for their PhilHealth, their Pag-ibig, their SSS? Then Mr. Yang would calmly say, I'm sorry, but those issues have been raised before the Supreme Court, and I will not respond to them.
And once, let's say, the resolution has been handed down, can we expect your client to fully participate here?
If the Supreme Court says that his petition has no basis, yes, then Michael Young will continue to comply with whatever lawful processes that the Senate will send to him.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. We've run out of time. Attorney Raymond Fortun there joining us via Zoom. Thank you so much, Attorney Fortun. Nice to see you again. Take care and you keep safe.
You're welcome, Carmina, and keep safe as well.
Thanks, appreciate it. Attorney Raymond Fortun there, legal counsel of former presidential economic advisor Michael Young. We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, the number of active COVID-19 cases here in the Philippines drops to its lowest level this year. Details of that and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Former presidential advisor Michael Young questions the Senate's arrest order and lookout bulletin for him before the Supreme Court. China tells the Philippines to get its military supply ship, the BRP Sierra Madre, out of Ayungan Shoal. The Philippines' poll body junks the motion questioning the extension granted to Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to answer his disqualification case. And Europe expanding its booster shot rollout as COVID-19 cases there continue to surge. Back with more news. Four political parties forge an alliance to officially endorse the 2022 tandem of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. and Sara Duterte Carpio. The so-called UNI team is composed of Lakas CMD, Puwersa ng Masang Pilipino, Hugpong ng Pagbabago, and Partido Federal ng Pilipinas. Marcos is chairman of PFP, while President Duterte's daughter is the chairperson of both Lakas, CMD, and HNP.
We have vowed to help elect new leaders who will guide and steer us to the right direction. We need leaders who have displayed steely nerves in leadership. We need leaders who have solid background in public service. We are going all in and all out for BBM and the Sara team in 2022.
Unifying leadership. It's a nation building na kung saan kailangan lahat kung pwedeng pagkaisahan, pag-isahin ang lahat upang masiguro na makamta natin ang ating adikain na may pagpatuloy ang pagbabago. Akala ko nga noon hanggang solid north at solid south lang tayo. Pero dahil sa pagbubuo ng apat na partidong ito, hindi lang solid north, hindi lang solid south, kundi solid ang buong bansa.
Marcos and Duterte Carpio hail the alliance, calling it a significant show of unity in the middle of a divisive political scene.
This alliance does not only show our firm aspirations for our country, it also echoes loudly of our triumph to peacefully unite and stand side by side in the pursuit of continued development and positive change for our fellow Filipinos and the Philippines. The UNI team has done something remarkable in a time when political noise and bickering drown the issues and problems confronting the Filipino people.
It has been a very tumultuous campaign already, and we are still 6 months away from the actual election. And it is this unifying force that I believe will bring stability back, first to the political arena and secondly to the country.
The Philippines Defense Chief rejects China's call to remove the BRP Sierra Madre from Ayungan Shoal. Secretary Delfin Lorenzana asserts the shoal lies within the Philippines' exclusive economic zone. He adds the 2016 arbitral award ruled that the territorial claim of China has no historic or legal basis. The defense chief also saying it is China that is actually trespassing. active COVID cases in the Philippines fall to 17,800, the lowest tally this year. That's after the Department of Health logged less than 1,000 new infections and 200 more deaths Wednesday. The positivity rate has also stayed below 5% for 12 straight days. The World Health Organization recommends countries to maintain this level for at least 14 days before considering reopening the economy. And while that 14-day goal is possible, ABS-CBN's chief data analyst warns government against declaring victory over the pandemic too soon.
Ang masasabi natin dito sa national positivity rate is that it's at the aggregate level for the whole country. Pero pag hinimay natin yung data, definitely meron pa rin mga ibang regions sa hindi pa rin naaabot yung below 5%. We still have to continue to monitor these certain areas.
For 2 weeks, we hope to have a positivity rate lower than 5%. And we will ask the guidance of WHO if we can already declare that the COVID pandemic in the Philippines has been controlled or contained.
Hospitals in the Philippines also reporting a much improved COVID situation. Michael DeLisa reports.
Nurses at Pasay City General Hospital are now having reduced workload with a decrease in the number of COVID-19 patients. Mean, for instance, has just recently returned from vacation to visit her family in the province. She says it is now easier to take a vacation leave.
Sunod-sunod po talaga yung pasyente kasi nun, as in, wala pong pag-itan. Unlike po ngayon, meron po kaming time na wala po talagang patient na dumadami.
Only 6 of the 38 COVID beds in the hospital are occupied. 2 are in the intensive care unit. In the emergency room, the hospital is currently accommodating more non-COVID patients, while 6 are probable cases waiting for the result of RT-PCR test.
Parang back to normal operations pre-COVID na. Kasi mga non-COVID na yung mga dumarating sa amin ngayon. For 2 straight days, wala kaming zero new cases kami.
At Tala Hospital in Caloocan City, beds dedicated for COVID-19 have been reduced. From 30 to 40 COVID admissions a day during the surge, it is now down to 0 to 1 per day. The Philippine General Hospital is also experiencing a steady downtrend in COVID-19 cases, but its ER remains full with non-COVID patients. Non-COVID patients are now also utilizing wards formerly dedicated for COVID patients.
Sa ngayon po, ang aming bilang ng pasyente na may COVID ay 79 out of our 300 beds. Hindi rin puno yung aming ICU at yung ating emergency room, halos wala na rin COVID na pumapasok sa ngayon.
Some private hospitals are also experiencing the same trend. St. Luke's Medical Center's Taguig branch currently has 11 COVID patients. Its Quezon City branch, meanwhile, has 9 patients in a COVID ward and none in the ICU.
Isang ward na lang ang bukas namin per hospital.
Okay.
Only one ward out of 3 or 4 wards.
The Binakayan Hospital and Medical Center in Kawit, Cavite has no COVID patient for almost a week now. Last week, the Rural Health Unit of Kawit announced 0 active cases for the first time since the beginning of the pandemic. The hospital says it will still welcome COVID patients, but the allocated beds for them have been reduced. Its ER extension, meanwhile, has been converted into an isolation room for patients waiting for the result of COVID test.
From 20 beds na allotted ng 10% ng hospital, binaba na muna namin sa 10 beds. Mm-hmm. Kasi unti-unti na nagbabalikan yung mga clean cases namin that we have to accommodate. Sabi nga namin, kailangan pahinga muna.
For the whole country, the utilization rate of COVID ward has declined to 16%, while 31% of ICU beds are occupied. Michael DeLizo, ABS-CBN News.
Preparations of local government units for the upcoming national vaccination days in full swing. The Union of Local Authorities of the Philippines, or ULAP, says LGUs are already forming their vaccination teams. Quirino Governor and ULAP President Dakila Kua adds LGUs are free to employ different strategies to meet government's target of vaccinating 15 million individuals during the 3-day inoculation drive.
Kanya-kanya po tayong mga approach dyan. Yung ibang LGUs, well, actually, halos pare-pareho naman ang naging style. No? Kinausap yung mga private doctors, nurses, and medtechs kung pwedeng mag-augment. So, inikayat na sila. naglaan yung mga LGUs sa mga pondo para may konting honorarium naman or incentive dun sa mga tutulong na from private sector.
Well, President Duterte declared November 29 to December 1 as National COVID-19 Vaccination Days. Under Duterte's proclamation, government and private sector employees who will be vaccinated on those days will not be declared absent from work, but this would still be subject to the rules of the Labor Department and Civil Service Commission. Europe's public health agency now recommending booster shots for all adults as COVID-19 cases in the region once again soar to new record highs. Those over 40 will be prioritized in the expanded booster rollout. But the World Health Organization urges the region to focus first on the unvaccinated and high-risk groups.
Last week, more than 60% of all reported cases and deaths from COVID-19 globally were once again in Europe. The sheer number of cases is translating to unsustainable pressure on health systems and exhausted health workers. In many countries and communities, we're concerned about the false sense of security that vaccines have ended the pandemic and that people who are vaccinated do not need to take any other precautions.
The surge in cases in Europe have prompted Slovakia to follow Austria's example, imposing a 2-week full lockdown. Italy, on the other hand, tightened restrictions on the unvaccinated and made COVID-19 shots mandatory for a wider group of public sector workers. The French and Dutch governments, meanwhile, will soon announce new measures to contain their own surges. Canada starts vaccinating children aged 5 to 11. Montreal and Toronto started the rollouts Wednesday. Quebec is following suit. Authorities expect to inoculate thousands of children this week. Only Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine has been authorized to be used on this age group. Canada joins a handful of nations, including the U.S. and Israel, in offering shots to 5 to 11-year-olds. It also has one of the highest vaccination rates in the world, with over 85% of people over 12 already fully vaccinated. In other news, the National Privacy Commission says telcos have taken down 40 domains linked to smishing activities. Smishing is classified as a cybersecurity attack carried out over mobile text messaging. Victims are deceived into giving personal data that can be used to commit fraud. Some of the domains were hosted by China and India. The NPC met with telcos Wednesday to discuss the issue. The company is committed to step up measures to protect the public from such schemes, admitting it can be used in the run-up to the 2022 elections.
If you're using a database, again, and there are may mga data aggregators or data brokers, diba? Na maaring no gamitin ito or may mga database sila at yun yung negosyo nila right to engage no kung sino man yung gustong kumuha ng services o ikaw mismo kung itong that's always a possibility Christian, that's always a possibility. Probably a politician, meron siyang sariling database, gamitin niya yung data aggregator at sabihin niya we have a database no And you can send this to this database. So we're not ruling that out. No, because database is involved, an aggregator is involved, and as long as there are people willing to pay money to utilize technology and data, no, that's always a possibility.
SNR reveals the contact information of some 22,000 members may have been compromised in the cyber attack that hit the supermarket retailer. But it says its team acted immediately to implement cybersecurity protocols and keep operations running. It also assures its members their credit card and other financial information are safe and secured by encryption measures. Despite the assurance, an ICT rights advocate says those affected by the breach should be on guard for potential identity theft.
May involved na contact information, yung risk includes potential identity theft or potential vulnerability dun sa parang yung nangyayari lately na smishing attacks kasi exposed to yung mga contact information nila sa mga sa mga cyber criminals na mahilig gumawa ng smishing and phishing attacks.
SNR is now coordinating with the National Privacy Commission to strengthen its cybersecurity. We're going to take another break now. Still ahead, airlines in the Philippines begin hiring back their laid-off workers. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. World News. Libya's election commission rejects the presidential candidacy of the late dictator Muammar Gaddafi's son. The commission said Saif al-Islam Gaddafi was ineligible because he had been convicted of a crime. A Tripoli court sentenced him to death in absentia in 2015 for war crimes committed during the 2011 uprising against his father. Meanwhile, UN's Libya envoy warns the planned elections must push through on December 24 because delaying it could greatly deteriorate the situation in the country. Disputes over the election rules and over the eligibility of some candidates have threatened to derail the vote.
Libya continues to be at a delicate and fragile junction of its path to unity and stability through the ballot boxes. While risks associated with the ongoing political polarization around the elections are evident and present, not holding the elections could gravely deteriorate the situation in the country and could lead to further division and conflict. As demonstrated by the high number of registered voters and candidates, the Libyan people are yearning for an opportunity to elect their representatives and give them a mandate to govern Libya through democratic legitimacy.
A polyp removed during U.S. President Joe Biden's colonoscopy last week is benign. That's according to White House doctors. The doctor said a routine surveillance is recommended and that Biden should have another colonoscopy in 7 to 10 years. Biden underwent colonoscopy last Friday as part of an extensive routine checkup. He was declared healthy and fit for duty. Biden, who is 79 years old, is the oldest U.S. president. The Philippine airline industry gains more ground amid easing travel restrictions. AirAsia says now that there are more available flights, it will also reactivate some of its flight and ground crew who were furloughed at the onset of the pandemic. Budget carrier Cebu Pacific has started rehiring employees as well.
So mahigit 400 yun,
wow.
Yung babalik 15% o nasa mga 80 na cabin crew, piloto at ilang ground staff natin yung magsisimula na ulit sa kanilang training ngayong December at unti-unti pang madadagdagan yung bilang na yan sa darating niya January. Effective January, lahat ng naka-hibernate na employees ay babalik na.
Ang nangyayari ngayon sa United States, nagkakaroon ng flight cancellation dahil sa staff shortage. So kami bilang paghahanda, 2 weeks ago, nag-start na kami at ang una naming sinabihan dito ay yung mga dating kasamahan sa Cebu Pacific.
According to an industry group, about a third of the employees of the airline industry either left or lost their jobs during this pandemic. The Bureau of Immigration bracing for the influx of more passengers this holiday season. That's as Manila eases travel restrictions on other countries. Bureau of Immigration spokesperson Dana Sandoval says they expect numbers to pick up in the coming days.
Lahat naman po are in place na, nakalatag na po yung added manpower natin, yung technologies po natin nakalatag na. So we can say po that we are ready, lalo po dito sa pagdating ng upcoming holiday season. Meron din po tayong mga assigned marshals sa mga immigration areas natin who may guide po itong ating mga passengers that are arriving o kaya naman po yung mga aalis.
In sports, a Philippine House lawmaker calling for a probe into the alleged harassment of Filipino Olympian E.J. Obiena by a Philippine sports body. Manila Representative Ronaldo Valeriano has filed a resolution asking the House Committee on Youth and Sports Development to investigate the controversy between Obiena and the Philippine Athletics Track and Field Association. Batafa claims Obiena made late payments to his Ukrainian coach worth 85,000 euros. Obiena, for his part, sees no issue with this, insisting his coach never filed any complaint. Congressman Valeriano warns the issue could derail Obiena's stellar career. And before we go, a Filipino is among the 6 beneficiaries of a scholarship program at the University of Michigan. Felice May Pashon Arines says her studies and research aim to answer the fundamental question in cell biology with the goal of contributing to the improvement of human health. Arines hopes to one day bring her work to the Philippines to give back to her homeland. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines Podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.